Well, it's a real pleasure to be... Oh, all right. Hang on. Put that there. You can just move that thing out of the way, if you will. There you go. Lovely. Look at that.
All my guns here.
Nothing. No expense spared, you know that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, it is a real pleasure and a joy to be here again. I bring greetings from Julio. How'd you get on with him? He's all right, isn't he? He's not bad. And Sam Welly, he done all right. They're good men. I give honour where honour's due. I thank Susan and Andrew for allowing us to come. And it is a pleasure to stand together. Now, the Bible says this: if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Two are better than one. It's just great to belong to a family of churches. It's great to belong to each other. It's great to be friends. I've told you before, I've had the pleasure of going where with you? Uganda? America. Yeah. America? Czech Republic? So we've kind of hung out various places, various times together, and it has been a pleasure. Again, to plug the carol service, come on over. We're going to have a great time. 6 o'clock. And it'll just be good. All right, who remembers what I spoke on last time I was here? Of course you'll remember.
Yeah.
Genesis 25.
That struck me.
Genesis. Huh? What did I say?
You said.
Go on, what did I say?
No.
Genesis 25. You're going there. It's a story of Rebecca. She's pregnant. First time in the Bible it talks about twins. And she's got a struggle going on inside. So how about if we pray? Father, we just thank you for a great opportunity just to come into your presence by a new and living way that Jesus has made. That we might receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. So would you speak to our hearts today? Speaker and hearers need you so very much. We love you, we thank you for the life we find in you, the joy that is ours in being your children. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And Jesus said you would be our teacher, our guide. You would lead us into all truth. You would take those things which are his and you would reveal them to us. So we are expecting you to speak to our heart today. We're expecting something to come from heaven to impact that inner man of ours, that we might go from this place having received a nugget, a seed that can grow and bear fruit to your glory, to your praise. And we ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour, and the people of God say, Amen. Amen. So nowhere else in Scripture have you got this record of twins. It's the first biblical mention of twins. All right, and she finds this struggle going on within her. It's Genesis 25, verse 22. And she says something really wonderful. If all is well, why am I like this? Or good authorized version, if all is well, why am I thus? And why have I chosen this text? Because it speaks of you and me, not that we're pregnant with twins. But we have this internal struggle going on within us. If I'm saved, why do I still struggle with that? Filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, loving the Lord with passion, and yet I find this struggle going on within me. If it be so, if this is the blessing of God, why am I thus? Why am I like this? And Christian people, you know what I'm saying. You can have your holy face on today, can't you? Sort of, yes, Pa. It's them, that one sitting next to me. All of us, let's be honest, if we're on it, let's be honest, that's a double what's, isn't it? Let's be honest, each one of us struggles with something. And the longer we're around church, the better we are at disguising it. as a pastor, you know, Mrs. Brown will come. We've not got Mrs. Brown in the church, have we? All right. Mrs. Brown comes in. How are you doing? Fine, Pastor. Fine. Then Mr. Brown comes up to me and says, oh, she's just been to hospital and has some diagnosis and it's all falling apart and everything else. We are great at being... Can I say a word? Hypocrite. We're great at... It comes from Hippocrates. No, the two faces. The drama thing. We're good at saying, oh, yes, Pastor. Oh, yes, Pastor. Meaning, oh, no. Or, how are you going? I'm great, man. I'm just, oh, in love with Jesus. Filled. Oh, and yet inside falling apart. There's no one in this room that doesn't apply. It's the other church where I come from. They're all like that, but not here. Listen, all of us struggle with the old man. But the thing about this text is what you need to get. So she struggles. She goes before the Lord. The Lord gives her a prophetic word. And at the end of it says this: the older shall serve the younger. Remember this. Because you've got an old man and a new man. And I think we've been in error in times past saying, when you become Christian, the old man is gone. He's laid down, he ain't gone. And all of you say he has, you're lying. That's another sin you've got to repent of. We all know it to be true that we struggle with us. I like me. You may not, I do. I can live with me. A lot of people can't, but I can. And yet I find, like Paul, the good that I would do, 1 Corinthians 7, by the way, I don't do. The evil I would not do, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Romans 8, chapter verse 1. Now, therefore, there be no condemnation for those that be in Christ Jesus. Oh, by the way, who do not live according to the old man, but live according to the new man. I've had people living in sin coming up to me, you judging me. Who are you to condemn me? Don't you know the Bible says? They always do that, don't they? Why do people do that? They shoot themselves in the foot or another part of their anatomy, really, because they say, don't you know the Bible says? Well, maybe I don't, but this one I do know. Oh, there is no condemnation for them that be in Christ Jesus. Bless God! Oh, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to... Why do they always cut that bit off? It's always true, isn't it?
It is.
Abounding grace. Another one. Do you know how that starts? Shall we continue in sin then, brethren, that grace may abound? Certainly not. Everyone wants abounding grace, but they want to live in sin. It don't work like that. Anyway, back to this two people struggling inside of us. 1 Corinthians 15 says this: the natural first, then the spiritual. Yeah? Old man first, new man second. I've been a Christian since I was born. You're wrong. You become a Christian. The old man first, the new man second. Two people living in one people. That's why some of us are quite round. I've got these two people living inside me, wrestling. Using, yeah, twins, not triplets. Oh, the two people wrestling inside of me. Who's going to be the ascendant? Who's going to win the day? You want me to tell you? I'll just prove it to you. You come to church, and you've all got that holy glow, spiritual aerobics. The smile. Yeah? And then you get home And suddenly, the other person appears. Did you hear what she said to you? Did you see the way she looked at you? You think? No? I love it. This church is so good, you know. So, it's me. So spiritual. You've encouraged them to be liars. Tell them the truth. Shame the devil. Listen. We always record. You know he lives in you. So at this moment, he's looking at me. I'll look at the ceiling. When in church, when you think the preacher's picking on you, so you start looking at the ceiling. Or the person next to you is speaking to you. So two people living in one person, old man, new man. Jesus put it like this, Matthew 26, where he said, listen, the spirit's willing, flesh is weak. I'm going to tell you something. Your spirit is always willing to do what's right. Hence, when they say we're having a special offering, your spirit says, yeah, give. And your flesh says, you must be joking. You never have that struggle, do you? None of, I love this church. It's just so holy. I might even come again. But we all have it. Forgive. Let them forgive first. They done it. It's their fault. Have you ever worked out who they are? I have to say that to my wife. I've never found out who they are. Who are they? They're this mystical kind of like Martian people, aren't they? They do things. What will they think? Who are they? I don't know. They're in every church, though. Why don't they do it? Who? They. We're very good at blaming others. Adam and Eve, remember? So Adam messes up. So he says to God first, it's the woman's fault. Well, first he blames God. It's the woman you gave me. Don't miss that. I wouldn't be like that if you hadn't given me that woman. Then it's the woman, of course. So now the poor woman turns around and says, it's the snake. The snake goes, oh dear. We're all good at working it off on somebody else. But until we own up, we can't change. I'm just going to preach for you today, you don't mind, dear. Until you own your sin, you won't be set free from it. You see, as long as you're working... Oh, you made me so angry. I know. Forgive me. But... You made me so angry. No, you're angry. Do you get that one? If you hadn't parked your car there, I wouldn't have hit it. We are all good at working it off on somebody else. But until you own your sin, you can't be forgiven. And until you own your sin, you cannot be changed. If it's just a foible or a propensity, we've all got these lovely words, haven't we? Oh no, it's just a foible I have. Probably not, it's a sin. I had a man in my church, and I just used to want to slap. The Bible says, lay hands on no man speedily. I tell you, he was provocation. And the way he got round it was, I've got a problem of anger. I've always been like this. But I'm going to tell you something now that you're not going to like. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to. Just graciously nudge the person next to you and tell them you don't have to. Graciously, smile at them. Smile at them, you don't have to. You don't have to. Please hear me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, it don't get no better than what you've got. Oh dear. Seriously, potentially, it will not get no better than what you've got. You have got new life pulsating through you. You've got abundant life pulsating through you. You've got eternal life pulsing through you. So it ain't going to get no better than what you get. But listen to me, you can be a millionaire and be a pauper. Because until you start drawing on what you've got, you ain't going to enjoy it. Now, you know I'm beginning to preach a bit, because you're getting ain't. You are not going to enjoy it. You'll get start, yeah, the vernacular will start creeping out. When I get excited, people say, where should we go then? Listen, I'm halfway through it already. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, the natural man does not receive the things of God. Brother Stroud, I'm having a dry season. Do you know that's a load of tip? That is not biblical. Tell me where. Oh, I'm having a wilderness experience. Good. It's only going to last 40 days and you're going to come out in the power of the Holy Spirit and beat up the devil. I get a little bit disturbed. I'm having a Job experience. Man, I tell you. Where's the boils? Only last 9 months and you come out with having twice as much as when you started. So I'm good. If you want to have a Job experience, have the boils, have all the kit that comes with it, scraping the flesh up and all that. But on the other side of it, come out with twice as much. See, we sanitise backslidden. Rather than address it and live in the fullness of what God wants to give us. Can you say amen? For those of you who are younger than me, who's over 68? 68? You don't look it, sir. Neither do you. You definitely don't, madam. See, I know how to crawl. I know how to stay on the rise. Listen, I'm 68 years of age and I am cranked up. I am excited about Jesus. Can't wait to meet him. But while I remain, Paul said, fruitful labour. We should be excited. I love it. You said about joy. Well, Isaiah 12:3, is it? Therefore with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 43, I think. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You wouldn't believe it in a lot of churches you go to. It's like going to a funeral. I went to a Christian funeral this week, and it was great. It was great. Homegoing, excitement, and the whole kit. We should, if that's where, homegoing, what about down here? Let's enjoy what we've got. I've come that you might have, John 10:10. Some people wouldn't believe it. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it. How? Yeah, listen, this abundant life is just pulsating through me. And then we wonder, listen, let's be honest, we wonder why people don't come to the Lord. We spend all week, all month, not you, pardon me, all week, all month, all year telling them how bad things are. And then we say to them, but you can be a Christian as well. And we wonder why. Listen, I've got enough issues, I don't need more. We're supposed to be the answer, not the problem, the solution, and not the question. If I upset you, yeah. And then you know what a good thing you've got in your pastor. You'll have to invite me back again, will you? Listen, anyway. Those that are in the... Oh, yeah, that's right. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. What about this? Those that are in the flesh... Yeah? Romans 8. Cannot receive the things of God. Why? Because the flesh is at enmity, at war, at battle, at struggle with the things of God. And in fact, to be in the flesh produces death. Two men, and you will have a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. I'm going to finish by telling you this. You don't have to. The devil made me do it. That's another lie. unless you are demonically possessed. And even then there are some questions. But for the Christian to turn around and say, the devil made me do it, what a lie. What a lie. 1 John 4:4 says what? You all know it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. Gone quiet, hasn't it? There's a hush. Sorry, because the Holy Spirit's brooding over. If you'll understand this, for you and I, it's great. Firstly, we can live in victory. And secondly, when we mess up, we can be quick to repent. Does this make sense to you today? I want to leave you with something. You walk out of here and think, well, bless God, I can live in the victory. And even when I mess up, I can get up. Don't rejoice over, one of my favourite texts. Don't rejoice over me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I will surely arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall arise upon me. I'm not defeated, I'm just getting up. I'm not down, I'm just transitioning. Listen, until you get this revelation, you don't have to. You choose to. What a wonderful victory. I don't have to. But it's the draw of the flesh, Ken. You don't have to. Greater is he that is in you. Isn't it funny? We try to sanitize the flesh rather than crucify the flesh. We try to sanctify something that God has said kill. Preacher's job is not to make you happy, it's to make you holy. Preach me happy, Pastor. What you said earlier, happiness is to do with happenings. Same root. So if the happenings are pleasing to the flesh, I'm happy. If the happenings are not pleasing to the flesh, I'm unhappy. Whereas joy says, bring it on, whatever, I'm saved. You're Christian. I'm always having to bring myself back to this. But you're Christian. Saved. Child of God. Adopted. Forgiven. Blood washed. Do you want me? I sat down the other day and went through the alphabet and thinking if I could think of Christian terms to apply. And you virtually can. And even then, if you want to do Z, you go Zoe. You know, I'm enjoying God's love, if you want. So anyway, you know, it's just X. You're all thinking it now. I'm saved. Now I'm getting carried away. What's the time? What time you wrap up? You wrap up at 12? Yeah. Oh, that's great. God, I was getting really... I have a reputation of being long-winded. I weren't that long-winded, surely. All right, come on, let's... Philippians 3:3. Who God... I worship God in the Spirit, rejoicing in the Spirit, and having no confidence in the... flesh. I worship God in the Spirit, putting no confidence in my flesh. Let me have a quick think through here. Oh, ready? The old and the new. Read on. Have you got your Genesis 25? I think you find it's verse 27. I wish I had more time. I had a great revelation this week. Because we've got time, let me just give you something to ponder on over lunch. Ready? What is it? No, 27, where it describes them, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. But anyway, this has got nothing to do with this at all, but something for you to ponder on over lunch. Well, because I don't get revelations very often, I'm old. I'm reading Exodus, as you do, the bit about the veil, which made me think about Easter and the veil being rent from top to bottom, which made me think, and this is a good one, it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, talks about how Jesus rent the veil of his flesh that we might have access to God. And I thought, my Lord, I've read that text, I know that text, and yet it's just given me a fresh understanding how Jesus, the veil, was rent in his flesh to give me access to God. Back to where we're supposed to be. The nature of the two boys. The first one, he's a hunter. He's cunning. He's crafty. He wants his desires satisfied. You can see that with the lentils, don't you? Later on when he sells his birthright for a bowl of beans. Your old nature, cunning, crafty, taking what he needs, hunting down what he wants, satisfying himself. Your other nature, meek, mild, isn't it, it says? Mild, dwelling in tents. The Holy Spirit's gentle. Kind, patient, long-suffering, good, gentle, patient, kind. Yeah, he's got all that fruit. He's retiring, is an old word, I'm not sure people would understand. But he don't push himself forward. So you want to live a holy life, but to do that, you've got to learn to live with this quiet person. This gentle person. Oh, we all want the wind of God, and we want the fire of God, and we fall on the floor, roll around, have run around the house, all those. Ooh, yes, hallelujah! And walk out and fall flat on our face. Because there is another man who don't force himself on us. But lives with us. And he said, I want to speak to you. But when do you give me time to listen? When do you listen? Sons of God are what? Come on, sons of God are... God, she's good, isn't she? She's heard me preach before. Led by the Spirit of God. How? My own circumstances. Don't be led by circumstances. Please don't. We're led by the word and the witness, and then by circumstances. Does that make sense to you? That's where you should read your Bible. When I did read it, that's before I had it holding up the table with a wonky leg. I did read it. And when I had that trouble, I remember then I read my Bible and I prayed. Now, your best place is to start reading it before then. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The entrance of thy word brings light. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, every word of God is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Seems to me that it's a good book. But it only works if you work it. How many Christians want to be Christian and never read their Bible? Or stumble from Sunday to Sunday when preachers make you happy? And I'm not here to make you happy, I'm here to make you holy. I'm not here to win brownie points. And then days are long gone, I'm too old to worry about popular opinion, to be quite honest. I'm here to tell you the truth. Why? John 8:36. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall... And the amount of truth you know is how free you are. Do you want me to take that one back to you? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The amount of truth you know is the amount of freedom you enjoy. Hence, you should read your Bible. Because John 17, 17, I seem to know a little bit of this. John 17 and 17 says this, what? Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is absolute, unadulterated, perfect, wonderful, marvellous truth. And truth that sets us free. You're in a situation, the flesh has said, let's do this. And it'd be one of them rare occasions where you sat down and read your Bible and God said, do that. And you think, nah, I don't want to. And then thank God for his graciousness that the Spirit of God continues to kind of work that word. Work that word. It's alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It makes a division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. And it shows us the secret thoughts and intents of our heart. Hebrews 4:12. That's why we should read it. I tell you what, I'm fed up with people who want to live a Christian life and don't read their Bible. My pastoral work would be a lot easier if more people read their Bible more often. In fact, I think a lot of our pastoral work would be redundant if more people read their Bible more often. Maybe it wouldn't be redundant because flesh would still be around. But you know what I mean. It would certainly lighten the load. Not in this church. I thank God that not in this... That lockdown in the Harvest Centre, I tell you, I got my work cut out there. But here, we're all right. We reproduce after a kind. All right, so let me just, I'm going to have to, for time's sake. But we have a promise. The older shall serve the younger. For only if you make him. Have you noticed your flesh never just turns around and says, today I'm going to just yield to the Spirit. Come on. Who's ever had a day, when you've not had to... Martin Luther. You always have to quote someone a bit more profound than yourself. Martin Luther said this. The big justification by faith business. He started off, I told you this one, didn't I? He used to beat himself. So much so that in later life he had, and fast and starve himself, so much so in later life he had some physical conditions related to that. So when he would come to his confession, he would have raped himself, he would have examined himself, he would have just gone as far as he could into himself to see if there was any trace of sin. And he said, no sooner I made my confession than the devil was there saying, you were proud when you said that. You forgot that. And he'd be condemned again. The devil never lets us off. Until we go home and meet the Lord, we will have to contend. I love Paul. I've run the race. I've fought the fight. Kept the faith. I'm there. I've made it. Oh, I never have trouble with the devil. You should be worried. The devil never troubles me. Then you should be worried. Either you're dead or you're lying. Or you've learnt to live with and don't even notice. Which is even more frightening. Cohabitating with the devil. Shacking. I can use that term here, can I? Shacking. Maybe you don't. Two people living in the same shack. Yeah. But the good news. Well, not bad. The good news. Ready? If any man be in Christ, he's what? Good. Listen to this, Galatians 6:15. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything, but a new birth. Being religious don't count for anything. Coming to church today will not score you brownie points in eternity. I tithe. I say good morning to the pastor. Seriously? I'm the pastor of a church. I've got a title. I do this, I do that. And I'm wonderful. I love the Bible. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Religious or not religious. It counts for. But what matters is the new birth. Are you born again? Do you know you're born again? John 3, a religious man came to Jesus and said, Master, I know you're a man sent from God, because no man could do the things that you do, and God was with him. I love Jesus. Jesus, straight away to his fan club, says this. You must be born again. Seeking to justify himself, he said, can I enter a certain time into my mother's womb? And Jesus turned around and said this. This is a profound one. It's in John 3:14, I think. It says, no, might be. Says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, first time. That which is born of the spirit is spirit, second time. You must be born again.
Three and five.
John 3:5. What's 14 say then? I'm onto my Easter text already. You must be born again. Do you know you are? Not religious, not churched. I'll tell you what, we just had a baptismal service. Really great, love it. But you know, if them people ain't saved, they'll go to hell with water just dripping off their nose. They'll steam. Baptism don't count for nothing. Communion don't count for nothing. Being called pastor, that counts for even less. Am I born again? Do I know I'm born again? Do I know I'm a child of God? Do I know I'm adopted? Do I know my sins are forgiven? Do I know I'm in Christ for time and eternity? Do I know when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be sucked out this place? Or if I go the way of all flesh, resurrection morn, here we come. Do I know, not think, not hope? I know. I love Paul. He puts it really well. I'm doing well. He said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say I know what I believe. See, half our falling outs are over what we believe. And half the time it's because we don't know who we believe. Because if we knew who we believe, we wouldn't be falling out over what we believe. We would be more forgiving, we'd be more gracious, we'd be more kind, we'd be more accepting, we'd be more. Not all roads lead to Rome, just because you think I'm one of these liberal whatevers. No. We don't have to accept a load of rubbish. Hopefully you walk away from here and say, this way is a man of the book, if nothing else. We don't have to accept a load of rubbish, but neither do we have to get up on our. Do you know, I can't give you a few of mine, just walking through life. To be forgiven, you've got to forgive. I know I'm going to be forgiven. I'll forgive you. Not that you've done anything wrong. To receive mercy. Show mercy. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Have. Give, that you might receive. Want some more? Press down, shaken together, running over. Shall men put in your bosom. That's always a good scripture. What more do you want? You see, if I am born again, it requires something of me. More than just yes. Yes, and are we all right? If I've offended you, oh, good. Because sometimes offence is something we have to work through as well. Sometimes truth hurts. Listen to this one. I'll tell you one of mine. Often God wounds before he heals. No, you don't know what I mean by that? None of you have ever struggled with something? Like, God, why on earth did you allow that? Now, it didn't say, listen to me, not God, why did you do that? Because he only does wondrous things. But God, why did you allow that? Because Ken, you had to learn. Who's ever gone round the same rock a few times? Banged your head against the same wall a few times? Why? Because until you learn, all right, last point. So I've got 6 minutes. So for those of you who are tired already, that's the end of it. All right. How do I bring the old man into subjection? That's what you wanted to know, wasn't it? Firstly, I'm going to put my hand up and say I'm still learning. It's one of them things, just cut the head off it. Who likes gardening? Come on, I love it. Why is it I dig a weed up? I'm sure I've got that critter. You know, I am there. I've dug deep. I've gone after it. Look. Bit of rain, bit of sun, and his brother pops his nose up. And it's the same with the devil, isn't it? You just think you've got that boy under your foot. And you're kind of stumbling on him all the time. But leastwise, I'll give you a few helpful hints. And I've already done one for you. First one is this. God's word is truth. Listen, the devil, John 8:44, actually it says, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And he's a murderer and all that, but he's a liar. So sometimes, you know, we believe lies. We believe lies about ourselves. That's why we get a lot of insecurity, a lot of defeat. You could never do that with your past. Look where you've come from. And we start believing a bad report. We start accepting lies. That's why Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is true. What does the Bible say? And I wish I had all day just to run off and tell you what God says about you. You are the apple of his eye. You are loved with an everlasting love. He has sought you. You are the pearl of great price. Yeah, you can go on and on. But the devil will say, you're useless. You're nothing. You're right. I was. I've been born again. I am a child of God. We sing that song, Falling Apart. If we understood it a lot better, we'd do a lot better. I am a child of God, purchased with a price. God loved me so much. How do you measure the value of something? By what you're willing to pay for it. What was God willing to pay for you? The best that heaven had. Himself. So you need to be people of the book. This is what I was going to preach for you last time I was here. He has begun a good work in you. I'm going to leave you half done. Shall complete it. I didn't do this last time I was here, but it's one of my favourites again. Which of you is seeking to build a tower? Doesn't first sit down and see if he's got enough to complete. I want to tell you, before the foundation of the world, God sat down, saw you, and said, I've got enough. I can complete that good work. I'm not going to leave them half done. There's others walking by saying, look at that fool. He started and couldn't complete. God's intention is to complete it. He wants to take us from glory to glory. And we with our... Oh, So you don't mind if I just preach for you, do you? I can speak Bible. Listen, we with unveiled faces, it says, beholding the glory of the Lord as it were in a mirror, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So wherever you are today, God wants to take you further. He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you higher. He wants to take you more into himself, because there's always more, because he's going to complete that good work he started in you. You should be smiling by now, because you only see what you're not. God sees what you will be in Christ. God has paid the price in Christ, and he intends to complete good work. Now, that was Luke 14, 28. We've even got it in my notes. First one then. Believe what God says about you. But you don't know Ken. Ken don't need to know. But you ain't seen Ken. Ken don't need to see. You don't know where I've come from, Ken. Do you know where I've come from? Do you know where I was before I came to Christ? On that night when I prayed the sinner's prayer, it went something like this. God, if you can do anything with this, you can have it. That's how far down. See, for me to die out weren't hard, because what I had wasn't much. Too many people want to hold on to a skeleton. Let it go. Thy word is truth. Second one, don't believe the lies. Jesus tells a parable about a man planting a field with good seed. And at night, while he slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And I had to look up what tares were. Who knows what tares are? Darnel, for the authorised version. But what does it mean? It means things that almost look right. What was the wonderful word I looked up? False grain, actually it means, if you look in your Strong's for a definition of tares. False grain. Things that appear real, but are false. Ready? Peter tells me this, I've got an adversary. Literally means one who stands in your way or is opposed to your rights. Your adversary, the devil, he'll lie to you. He says you can't. You can't. You can't be set free from your past. You can't change. You can't. Remember that last marriage. Remember that last relationship. Remember that last church. Remember that last. And he lies. He stands in your way saying you shall not pass. He's a liar and the father of lies. Ready? So I close. 1 minute. He's the accuser of the brethren. Remember that one? Remember what you did last week? No one else saw, but God saw. He ain't going to forgive you this time, is he? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of... Small word, but get your head around it. If you confess your sin, literally means to say the same as confession. God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Don't try to sanitize it, just own up. That's what confession means, to say the same as. God said, don't, I did. God's right, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. And it's great, I can be clean. Clean! Devil, you're a liar. Pull down that high and lofty thing that takes itself. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:4, 5, and 6 says this. We take every thought captive. Because if you sit there and let it run round, who's ever started off with, oh, John looked at me funny today. Have we got John in the church? Oh, hallelujah. I always worry about it. John looked at me funny in church today. So we sit down there. That's all right, isn't it? I wonder if John's got a thing about me. I wasn't over keen on John in the first place. I remember when John... How could Pastor let John... And before we know where we are, the other person has got John round the throat, beating the living daylights out of him, and all that John forgot to do was say good morning. If you don't take thoughts captive, like weeds... They come as seeds, but they'll grow if you don't pull them out. And my lastest point is this, and Jesus put it well. Watch and pray. He didn't say pray. He didn't say watch. He said watch and pray. So in prayer meetings, you should be like this. Watch and pray. You start, see, the Spirit will start saying to you, really, let's be honest, you know it. I'm not preaching to you saying you don't know. Back to John. From the first moment when you started on, John didn't say good morning to you. The Spirit's turned around and said, he ain't a bad old boy, is he? You then start on, yeah, but he's always got them. And the Spirit will say, but to be forgiven, you've got to forgive anyway. Remember, he's retiring, he's gentle. Colossians, my last text, says this. Colossians chapter 3. You're mocking. I'm about 3 minutes over and I'm stopping. Usually, listen. Put off the old man and his deeds. That's what it says in the Bible. Put on the new man. I think it's around verses 9 and 10. Fashioned after God. Now this morning, other than this, my wife told me what coat to put on. And it's a very nice coat as well. But I did dress myself. I chose to put on. Tonight when I go to bed, I will choose to put off. Struggle. Which one are you choosing to wear? Because listen, when you make the choice, that's when God's grace comes. It will not come until you make the choice. Who's ever felt, oh, God, change me? And God's sitting in heaven saying, well, what do you want changed? Oh, God, make me like Jesus. Right, what are you going to give me that I can take out of you and put something else in? We choose, and when we do, that's when grace comes. Why? Because the older will serve the younger, but only if you bring him into submission. There's a power at work within you. Yeah? One more? So we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, is it? It's either 10 or 20 where it says this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond anything we should think or ask. How's it go? Cut the text in half again. By the power that's at work within us. How is God going to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything we should think or ask? By the power that is at work within us. The power of the new man. Hallelujah. Can we not stand in the presence of the Lord? Well, my. The greater one lives in me. And he lives in you. Hallelujah. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Father, we come before you today in Jesus. Trusting in nothing. I know that in my flesh there dwells no good thing. But coming in this glorious invitation that we have in Christ. to come boldly before the throne of grace and receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. And today we come into your presence by a new and living way that Jesus has made. We come before your throne. Now, Lord, you've heard the words, and I just pray that that was rubbish will just fall to the ground. But that which contained those seeds of life will find good soil and produce 30, 60, 100 fold in our lives. Father, I thank you that Jesus gave his everything to give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Help us more and more to see the wonderful life you've given us in Christ, and the wonderful life you've given us in this wonderful thing called the church. The family of God, the people of God, the children of God, the firstborn of many brethren. Lord, we bless you and we praise you. Now, if you've heard the word of God today, could I ask you just to raise your hands to heaven and just bless the Lord for what he's done for you in Christ. Just thank him. Come on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm chosen. I'm accepted. I am loved with an everlasting love. Lord, I thank you that you sought me and you brought me in. Just bless him. Just bless him. Where would you be if it wasn't for the Lord? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.